This is Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, Episode 3. Let's rock.
Welcome to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, your resource for marketing ideas, sales tips, and business strategies that help agents like you survive and thrive. And now your host, John Carroll.
Hello, I am John Carroll, and I'm very excited to welcome you to this, our third episode of Insurance Marketing. Today's episode is actually the second half of a two-part series about local search engine optimization. In other words, how do you get your agency to the top of the search results when people go out to Google and they search for an insurance agent? Now, in the last episode, I ran through the different factors that Google looks at to determine which agencies deserve to be at the top of the list. And this week, I'm going to go through specific details about how you can take advantage of that information and, for lack of a better term, how can you trick or how can you fool Google into putting your agency at the top? I probably shouldn't use that term. In fact, there's really a couple things that I want to mention before jumping right into the thick of the information here. You know, I don't want it to sound like we're tricking Google. We're not really pulling any tricks. What we're actually doing is we're identifying what it is that they look for. And then we're trying to match that type of a profile. Now, everything that I'm going to recommend today to you is 100% white hat. And white hat is a term that we use in internet marketing to it's kind of like a reference to the old cowboy movies, and it means we're not trying to pull any tricks. We're really just going for what the search engine's looking for. And the reason that's important is that there are some tricks you can do that will get you to the top of those search results by doing wrong things. But the challenge is that, like a lot of things, if it's too easy, it's not going to last. And the last thing I would ever want to do would have your agency get banned from the search results. And I've seen that happen to people in the past, and take my word for it. Everything I'm talking about today is 100% legit, and it's allowed by Google. I prefer to play by the rules and win in the long run, like the tortoise. So the other thing I want to talk about is, if you have not already listened to episode number 2, which is where I break down the factors that Google's looking for, I would strongly encourage that you go out and you listen to that episode first. It's important that you understand that that information, because today, as I'm talking about the techniques and the tools and the resources, you're going to need to have that foundation of knowledge. You might miss something in that former episode that could be really important. So I would really encourage you to go back and listen to that episode first. One more thing before I get into some thick, exciting information is that I want to tell you, I'm going to be going through a lot of very detailed information today. There's some complicated concepts and some really valuable information, and you might find that you want to take notes about what I'm talking about, and that's totally cool as long as you're not driving in a car right now. But I do want to let you know that with every episode of this podcast, I create show notes, and show notes are basically a page on my website on insurancesplash.com, and the show notes give a little bit of information about what we talked about, but they also give links to informational resources and other websites that I'm mentioning today. So don't feel like you have to necessarily take notes about everything. That's fine if you do, but I'm going to try to give you a lot of information afterwards. I would almost rather have your attention to really absorb everything and just trust that I'm going to have that information for you a little bit later. And the way that you can get to these show notes is by just going to insurancesplash.com/3. That's the number 3. With every one of these episodes, I create show notes that are located at insurancesplash.com/ and then the number of the episode. If you put that into your browser, you hit enter, it'll take you right to the show notes. So this is insurancesplash.com/3. So that's enough things to talk about before I get into things. Let me give a quick review about what we talked about last week in terms of on Google's website, they come right out and they tell us that there's three major factors that they're looking for. And those three factors are location, relevance, and prominence. Location is how close your business is to the searcher. Basically, if you're an insurance agent in Philadelphia and somebody's looking for insurance in New York City, you're not going to show up. The second thing is relevance. How relevant is your business to the search term? And really, if somebody's searching for insurance and you're a florist, or, you know, if maybe the better example would be the reverse, because you're probably an insurance agent, Google's not going to show you. The last thing is prominence. And this is really the big one, because this is what makes the difference between being first and not even showing up at all on Google. And that refers to how prominent your business is online. Now, with respect to these three different factors, location, relevance, and prominence, there's basically five different categories of factors that Google looks at to determine which agency best matches those three things every time somebody does a search for insurance agent or insurance quote or car insurance or whatever. Now, the five factors, the five categories of factors that Google looks at are, number one, your business listing with Google, and that's going to be either through Google Places or through Google Plus Local. And I'll come back and I'll talk about more of these in more detail. They also look at the information that's located on your website about your business. They look at the information about your business and information about your website that's located everywhere on the internet except your website. They also look at the reviews of your agency, and they look at some social factors like things like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and different things like that. So now, those five things are what I'm going to be focusing on today. I'm going to give you very detailed, specific information about what you need to do and tools you can use to really knock it out of the park for each one of those different categories. But before I do that, there's an exercise that I really need you to do. And it kind of reminds me of sometimes when you're reading in a book and they tell you, well, stop reading and just sit there and write down, you know, these 10 things, whatever it is. And you know, if you're like me, I never stop and do that. But this exercise that I'm going to ask you to do right now is 100% paramount. It is absolutely necessary that you do this before you go crazy with all the other things that I'm talking about. If you do not do this, you will not get the benefits from the other aspects. So the exercise that I need you to do is, before we start working on developing your profile, you need to establish some official parameters about your business. And I really, really strongly encourage you to write this information down. You can even put it on a text document on your computer so that it's easy to copy and paste when you're putting information about your business all over the internet. So here are the things that you really need to lock down. The first one is your official business name. And I know that sounds silly, but it's actually important that everywhere online, if your business is the John Carroll Agency, that you're listed that way. So you don't want to be listed as the John Carroll Agency LLC in some places, or the JC Agency, or the John Carroll Agency Group. Whatever your business name is, that is what you are everywhere. Now, I'm going to give you some more tips about how to pick each of these different factors, but the key thing before we start spreading the word is that we're getting our information set in stone of what we're going to use. The next thing you really need to determine is your business address, and I'll explain more about this later, but it's very important that everywhere online your address is exactly the same. You also have to have an exact phone number that you use everywhere. You have to decide on your official hours of operation, your official website address, and while you're at it, before you go into actually optimizing your agency to show up at the top of the search engines, it's probably a good idea to also make a list of the words that you want to show up for in Google. It's a common afterthought is people do all this optimization and then they come back and realize, you know, I was trying to rank for words that nobody even cares about. Nobody even uses these words. So the first tool that I want to tell you about today is a tool from Google. It's called the Google Keyword Tool, and I'll include a link to it in the show notes. You could probably search on Google for Google keyword tool, it'd probably be the top result. But what it is it's a tool that they provide to their advertisers that allows you to put in a term like insurance quote, and Google will actually tell you exactly how many people in the United States type that into their search bar, and they're actually looking for that search term. Now, in addition, what Google will do is they'll tell you a bunch of other words that are very much related to that. So if I typed in insurance quote, they're also going to tell me, okay, well, you might also be interested in car insurance quote, home insurance quote, car insurance rates, insurance agency, all these different words that are related. And the key is that Google tells you how many people are actually searching for those words. So you don't have to guess about whether people are looking for health insurance or if they're looking for medical insurance. You can tell that 5 times more people are looking for health insurance than are looking for medical insurance. And that's a really important thing to determine at the beginning of this process rather than trying to clean it up afterwards. So I would encourage you, you know, you might just want to keep it simple and go with 10 words that are very important to you, and you can use that Google keyword tool to determine those words based off of what people are actually searching for. Could probably do an entire podcast about using that tool, but for now, I'm just going to send you out there and encourage you to get your hands dirty with it. So now that you've got that list of your business name, your address, your phone number, your hours of operation, your website address, and a list of keywords that are important for you to rank for, now it's time to go out there and make it happen. So the first thing that's important for getting your agency acknowledged and noticed by Google, I had mentioned earlier, is your Google business listing. Now, right now, Google's in kind of a transition. Their Google business listings used to be called Google Places. In fact, they're still kind of called Google Places. They're trying to move it into being called Google Plus Local, but it really doesn't matter. The point is that Google allows you to go out to their website and say, hey, I'm the owner of this agency. I want to claim this business profile so that no one else can make any changes, and I'm going to give you all the information you need to know about me so that you don't have to guess. You don't have to try and figure it out on your own. So I will include in the show notes a link that will take you to a page you can go to find your business, and if you haven't already claimed it, you can claim it right there. And once you go in and you put in your information, what will happen is if you haven't already claimed this, is Google will give you 2 options. They'll say you can either verify this by having us mail you a postcard with a special key on it, and then you can come back into Google and you can type that key in, and we'll publish your listing. Or alternatively, you could do a phone verification where they call you up on the phone and they whisper a secret letter to you and you type it into your website. If you have those 2 options, and you may not have both of those options, you might have to do the postcard, but I encourage you, if you have to do a verification and phone verification is an option, choose that, because I cannot tell you how many people have chosen the postcard and then they tell me 3 weeks later they haven't had it, so we have to order another one. It can really delay this process. So for brand new listings, a lot of times Google will require the postcard, but if you can do a phone verification, do that phone verification. So that's just kind of my aside. So let's talk about each of the different elements, the pieces of information that Google is going to ask for within your Places profile, and what's important there. So the first thing that they need to know is the name of your company. Now, I just want you to, again, you're going to use the business name that you're using everywhere. And what you don't want to do is stuff it with keywords. You know, you don't want to put the name of your city or extra, you know, auto insurance if that's not part of your business. You want to be consistent because you're going to be using this business name everywhere. Now, a common thing that comes up is there's a lot of agents out there who are captive agents. They sell insurance for Allstate or State Farm or Nationwide or Farmers. And you know, they're not sure if they should use the same style of a business name as the other agents. My recommendation, my strong, powerful recommendation to you, is to look at how Google is doing all the other captive agents for your carrier, and I would just match that. So if Google is saying everyone is Bob Jones-Allstate agent, I would use that same thing. The reason is because it's less likely that you might wind up with more than one listing because you're listed in that way on other places. So, you know, if you're captive, go with the flow. Don't try to change it. And you want to make sure that you're not having more than one of these Google Places or Google Plus listings for your business. So that was your company name. You know, go with your DBA or whatever you're using, but make sure you're using it everywhere. The next thing is your address. Again, you want to make sure you're always using the same thing. And I can't stress this enough. You know, you might be 123 Main Street in one place, and somewhere else you're 123 Main Street, Suite B, and then you're 123 Main Street, Suite Number B, and then you're 123 Main Street, STEB. And if you're listed differently in a lot of different places online, and it's not consistent, it's confusing to Google, and they don't want to see that. So again, I want you to choose the business address that is going to be consistent everywhere. My strong, strong recommendation is to use another tool from the U.S. Post Office. It's called their zip code database. And the way it works is you go, you type in your address, and the United States Post Office, they say, oh, okay, so you thought your address was this, but here's the official address of what it is. And there are times when you might type in Miami, Florida, and it tells you, no, you're Miami Lakes, Florida, or you're some other thing. And I know a lot of folks, they tend to want to, I've seen situations where people say, yeah, but I don't want to say that I'm there because nobody knows where that is. Trust me on this. You're better off using the official address, because what will happen is on many other websites in different places where your agency is listed, they're going to change it based off of the U.S. zip code database. So you're way better off just going with what it's going to wind up being in a lot of different places. You know, you're better off going with the flow than trying to fight it and saying, oh, no, I'm not really, you know, I want to say that I'm part of the big city, not part of the little city on the outskirts. Go with the official version and just trust me on that. I've seen instances where the official version is not what the website, the company's website has on their website. So for an example, let's just say that I'm an agent for State Farm, and the United States Post Office zip code database says that I should be living in West Philadelphia rather than just Philadelphia. But then on statefarm.com, it's not listing me as West Philadelphia, it's listing me as Philadelphia. My strong recommendation is to reach out to State Farm and have them correct it on their website, because your best bet is to have everything be the same and to just go with the flow. So a lot of information there just about your address, but it's important. It's extremely important. It's one of the most important things. The next thing is your phone number. The key here is you want to use always the same phone number. Again, a local number is much better than an 800 number, because a local number proves to Google that you really are a local business. Don't ever use tracking numbers online. A tracking number would be like if I wanted to have a different phone number that I use for a certain advertisement so that I could track how many people called me through that advertisement. What can happen is if those tracking numbers get out online, they might wind up all over the place related to your business. And again, that's confusing to Google. So that phone number has to always be the same everywhere online. And a local number with a local area code is far superior. The next thing is your website address. Now, it sounds silly, but again, your website address has to be consistent everywhere online. And sounds obvious, but a lot of websites, you could write them with a www at the beginning or without a www at the beginning, and you'll still get to the website in either of those cases. But the key is you want to only have one way that you write out your website. Personally, I'm a www kind of guy. I tend to think that people more natural that they type that in before a website, but there is no SEO benefit to one or the other. There is an SEO benefit to going with one consistently all the time. You can also, within your Google profile, they give you 200 characters to write a description about your agency. This is where having your list of keywords you want to rank for becomes important. So you're going to want to, you know, you don't want to just stuff it with keywords. It has to flow like a real world, you know, like a real sentence. But as much as possible, you want to use some of the most important locations, and you also want to use your keywords within that script. And, you know, you only have 200 characters. You don't want to take up too much space, but a little call to action at the end, like give us a call to find out, you know, how much we can save you today, might not hurt you if you can afford the space there at the end. Another thing that you choose with your Google Places or Google Plus profile is the category of business that you have. This is a section of the profile that a lot of agents don't fully capitalize on. Google will let you choose up to five categories. And if you choose any less than five, you're actually leaving opportunities on the table. So what I see a lot of agents do is they choose insurance agency and then they just leave it at that. Google will let you pick up to five. And if you choose more, it doesn't limit the strength of how much of an insurance agency you are. It actually just limits the different types of searches that you're going to show up for. So it really is going to depend on what you sell, what type of insurance is that you sell. But Google has about seven or eight different categories that are specifically related to insurance agents. And I wrote an article one time where I reviewed those different categories and went through what would be the best ones to choose. I'm not going to go through everything that I mentioned in that article. You can check it out from a link in the show notes. But I will tell you that the five that get the most traffic, the most searches online would be insurance agency, auto insurance agency, life insurance agency, health insurance agency, and home insurance agency. If for some reason maybe you're not really a big health insurance agent type person, you could also go with motorcycle or renters. But the real key is if you don't choose all five categories, you're missing out, because if you don't choose auto insurance agency, you might show up a little bit lower for people who are doing a search for auto insurance quote. So that's the category. Choose all five of them. Read the article I wrote about how to make that decision yourself. Also, the hours of operation. And again, this is something that we wrote down originally about the business. The hours of operation have to be consistent everywhere. Now, I have known agents who say, well, I'm going to say that I'm open on Saturday and Sunday because, you know, somebody might just give me a call and leave a message and I'll be able to call them up on Monday and give them a quote. I don't think that's a good idea. It's actually probably more of a customer service issue, because this information you're giving to Google is something that people are going to be using maybe on their mobile phone while they're out and about, and they're going to see on there, oh, this company is open right now, so I'm going to just swing over there. And it's really just not a good idea. Additionally, I'm going to talk about later, it's going to be helpful if your hours of operation that are shown on your website match what's shown on your Google profile. And if you're saying on your Google profile that you're open on the weekends and your website does not say that, it's going to work against you. So another thing that you can add with your Google profile is photos. As of right now, you can add up to 10 different photos, give you a few different ideas of what can work well for you here. A logo of the agency is usually pretty good. A headshot is also good. Personally, if it's between those two, I would recommend a headshot, unless you're really ugly. You know, I suppose you could always just hire a good-looking person and use their picture instead. But I do think that the headshot tends to be a little bit more intriguing, more interesting, and more trustworthy than just a logo. And after all, what you're doing is more about who you are as a person and not the logo that you're selling for. I also recommend agents put a picture of the outside of their building on there, because if somebody sees that picture and they say, oh, you know, I drive past that place every day, it's possible that it might help be a push for them to actually go with, you know, giving you a call to get a quote or whatnot. I also recommend having lots of real pictures from inside the agency. And the thing about real pictures is that they don't have to be great. They don't have to look, you don't have to hire a professional photographer, because in fact, when people see the real look of it, it's actually going to be more, I don't know, more homey, more down to earth. But you know, if you can try to take pictures of your office when it's full of people so that it looks like a busy place, and you want to have obviously happy looking people, you want to have a wide diversity of people. You know, you don't want to have all people that all look the same, because if somebody is thinking about calling you and they don't look like that, they might be less likely to call you. So one thing I would recommend staying away from, if possible, is the stock photos. You know, you can get a picture and it's like a smiling, happy family with, you know, a big stupid grin on their face. And, you know, that's all right. But the truth is that when I see that, I just think, this is more of the same. I really think that you want to try to make this profile of your business a real profile of who you are as a business. And that's why I recommend really taking real pictures of real people inside the agency, so the people who are considering reaching out to you, they're actually getting a real taste, a real flavor for for who you are. And so make it look good, but make it look real at the same time. There's also an opportunity within your Google profile to add videos. You can add links from YouTube, and adding videos isn't going to hurt you. If you have your own videos that you've created with your agency, you can use those. You could also use, there's a website called Fiverr.com, which is pretty cool. It's this website where people can, they basically just offer all kinds of different things that they do for you for $5. And there's a bunch of people on there that'll make a snazzy little 30-second video about your agency. And it's only $5. And, you know, you load it up to YouTube. And then at least you got something on YouTube that's multimedia that you can use here in your profile. But you can also use commercials from your carriers. So if you sell for Travelers, you know, you could get one of those cool pictures with the dog, I think. I think Travelers has the dog with the bone and stuff. I don't know. They crack me up. But I think, you know, it's just another opportunity. And the final detail of your Google Places profile or your Google Plus profile is they allow you to add in additional details. And the reason they do this is because every business is different, and some businesses might have information that's really important to have displayed in there, but it's just not one of the questions that Google thinks to ask. So what they let you do is you can put in your own like title, and then you can put in your own information after that. So if I wanted to say, you could write something like awards, Agent of the Year 2009. Some ideas where you could use this to get more keywords in there would be, you know, you could write something like carriers, and then you could write Foremost, Infinity, Progressive, you know, all the different companies that you write for. That way, hopefully, if people are searching for a Progressive agent, you'll have a better chance to show. You could also include all the different types of insurance that you sell. So Travelers insurance and crop insurance and all these different things, bonds. You want to make sure that you have those in your profile because it's going to help that relevance factor if somebody's going out and they just happen to be searching for something. You could also include like special types of policies. So, you know, every state tends to be a little bit different, but if there's some special type of insurance policy that somebody who got a DWI has to buy, you know, like an SR-376 or whatever it is, try to use those keywords in there. So that additional detail section is an opportunity for you to get a lot more interesting keywords that can be helpful. So now that is everything that I have to talk about. I'm coming up on close to a half hour, and all I've gotten through is to tell you about your Google profile. But hopefully this is valuable information to you. And of course, it's a podcast, so you can pause it and come back anytime you want to. So I'm not going to stop, and you're just going to have to stop me if you need a break. So the next thing that is important for showing up at the top of those search results is information about your website. Now, some of the stuff I'm going to talk about related to websites, it might be a little technical and it might be a little over my head, a little over your head, and that's okay, but I'm more or less trying to give you a feel for the idea here. Now, one of the most important things that you can have is both the city and state that you're trying to rank within in the title of the page that people land on from Google. So, and the title of your website is actually the thing that shows up at the top of your browser, and it also shows up in search results. The title is what shows up as the blue link on Google search results. So if you can have Minneapolis, Minnesota within that title, that's something that's going to help you, and your web designer should be able to accomplish that very easily for you. Another thing that's important is having the name, the address, and the phone number of your business that matches exactly the way it's written over on Google in a format that Google can actually read. Now, the format that Google reads is kind of complicated. The key thing is you want to have your agency name, your address, and your phone number in text that could be highlighted. And the key here is you might have a big picture of your phone number up at the top of your screen, but if it's a picture, Google gets to your website and they can't see that because they can't see the pictures. They can only read the text. So you want to be sure that your agency name, your address, and your phone is in text format somewhere on your homepage. It can also be extremely helpful if you have a product keyword in your domain name or a geographic keyword in your domain name. You know, at this point, that's probably only relevant if you're shopping for a domain name because you're in the process of building a website, but having the word insurance, having the word car insurance, having the word Los Angeles, having the word Chicago in your domain name can be helpful. It's also important that you have the city and the state in many pages on the website, and in tags that are called header tags. Header tags is basically, it's HTML, it's computer code for the headlines of your different web pages. And the more you can get your city and state into the headlines of your different web pages on your site, the more helpful that can be, because it's really just an indicator to Google that says, hey, listen, we're definitely, absolutely an agency that's located in this place. You can see that because it's written all over the place. One factor is that your website should be able to load fast. If it cannot load quickly, there's been a lot of tests done that have shown that Google is showing websites that don't load quickly. Google is showing a lot less frequently, especially in mobile searches. And the idea is, if you're out on your smartphone and you're about to load up a website, you know, you're running off your 3G and the internet connection might not be so fast. So if a website is going to take 15 seconds to load, that's a very poor user experience. And so that is one of those things that Google is looking for. I'll include a link in the show notes to a tool that I use when I create new websites that gives you a really good gauge of how long your website takes to load. It's from a company called pingdom.com. It's like the word kingdom, except with a P at the beginning. That's P as in P as in pretzel. Now, you do not want to have any broken links on your website, not because it's a big, huge deal, but it just makes your website not look very professional from Google's perspective. Broken links are if there's a link on your page and you click on it and you get like some kind of an error that says, uh-oh, this page doesn't exist. It's really just an indicator of poor quality, and Google being a website company, they don't like to see that. Another thing that can really hurt you is having a splash page. A splash page is, they're not too common nowadays, but they used to be pretty big. So if you have an old website, it might be something you should look into. But the splash page is, you know, somebody goes to your website, and before they get to see your website, they have to watch this crappy this video, you know, about, I don't know, like a car driving fast and there's smoke coming up, and then buy insurance. And then, you know, I'm sure you've seen these things, and they're super, super annoying because they're kind of like this thing that is built for the guy who owns the website because he thinks it's cool, but they're not at all built for the user of the website. Google does not like to see those. It makes things not very good. So if you have one of those splash pages, I'm sure you think it's so cool and I'm sure you like it, but the truth is that 95% of people that land on it really don't like it. So I would talk to your web developer and see if you can get that thing removed. It's also very bad to have your website developed in mostly in Flash. You might not be familiar with what Flash is, and that's okay, but if your website is primarily in Flash, you could go to an iPhone or an iPad and it wouldn't be visible. Flash is a web design standard that people are really moving away from. So if you're not sure if your website's made in Flash or if it's not, you can, you know, talk to a web developer or somebody who knows more about that type of stuff, or look at it on an iPad, and you'll be able to see what's there and what's not. And, you know, I've seen a lot of agents who have websites built entirely in Flash, and so people use their iPad to look at the website and they just see a blank page. It's a horrible user experience, but it's going to hurt your search rankings as well. So let's talk a little bit about also the content that's on your website. I do think it's very important that all the different products that you sell are at least listed there once, you know, so the auto insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance, all those different products. Because if somebody is on Google and they're searching for, let's say, renter's insurance, well, Google says, okay, your agency, well, let's look at the Google profile. Yes, they have listed there that they sell renter's insurance. Let's look at the website. Yes, it says on the website that they sell renter's insurance. If I'm Google, I'm very confident that I'm not making a mistake by showing your website to that person. And I also recommend having the carriers that you write for listed on your website, because it's the same thing. People can actually be searching for, instead of searching for your agency, they might be searching for that carrier that you write for. And you want to make sure that, you know, if you have 50 different appointments, find a way to get them all included onto your website at some point. A good page for that is like a resources page that includes all those different carriers. So that is everything that I wanted to talk about regarding your actual website, the changes and things. Now, I could probably spend an hour just talking about your website, going into more detail, but I think I've probably already killed it. So the next thing, the third thing that I want to talk about is the factors that will help your website rankings that are going on off of your website. And there's two major things that are going on off of your website that are going to have a big effect on your search rankings. Those two things are citations and links. Citations are a listing of the name, phone number, and address of your agency listed somewhere else on the internet. A link is just it's a blue hyperlink that if you click on it, it takes you over to your website. Now, when it comes to citations, the more the merrier. So you want to be listed in as many different places as possible with your name, your address, and your phone number. I cannot emphasize enough that the more consistent the information about your business is, the better results you will get. Now, there's an awesome tool out there that I'll include a link in the show notes. It's called getlisted.org. And it's this website where you go and you type in your business name, you type in your zip code, you hit submit, and it actually goes out to all of the most popular websites that have business listings, like Google, like Bing, like Yahoo, like yellowpages.com, like hotfrog.com, a whole bunch of them. And it checks the information that's listed there. It checks whether you're listed at all. It checks whether the information is consistent. It checks whether you've claimed that listing. And it even gives you links that will take you right out there so that you can claim the listing. It's an awesome, awesome tool. And I'm not going to go into too much detail because the tool will walk you through a lot of what you need to do. And I'll include a link in the show notes to getlisted.org. Another thing that they do through getlisted.org is they help you get over and get listed with data aggregators. Data aggregators are companies. There's a lot of them, but there are three major ones. The three main ones that you want to be concerned with are called InfoGroup, LocalEase, and Axiom. And basically, these companies sell business information to other websites that are trying to have local business information included within them. So if you have your information correct with InfoGroup, LocalEase, and Axiom, that information will then get distributed to thousands, tens, and hundreds of thousands of other places, all in the exact same way, all consistently, so that anywhere Google looks, they're going to see your information the same, they're going to see it everywhere, and they're going to feel very confident that you're a very popular agency that's been around for a long time. There's another company that can help you do a lot of this stuff. It's called Universal Business Listings, and the way they work is you submit one business listing to them with your information, and they pretty much spread it out to all these different places. It's a good time saver, but it does cost money, so I would recommend go to getlisted.org first. You may want to check out Universal Business Listings. And then there's another one that is, it's more of a, once you've taken care of the main listings, there's this other website called WhiteSpark. And again, I'll include a link in the show notes. And they have a tool that helps you find more websites that you can go out and get your agency listed with. And what's really cool about this is what they do is they look at where your agency is listed, where your name, address, and phone number is, but then they go out and they look at your other competitors. Who are the other guys that are ranking on Google for the search terms that you want to show up for? And then they find, well, where are those guys listed? And it really puts all the information together in a really easy way for you that you can pretty much just go out, click, and add your agency. So it's going to take you a little bit of work, but the idea is that you can build this profile of citations that matches your competitors. And when you match everything that they have and you add in all the stuff that you're doing, it's going to put you on the top of that fight for the most listing, the most business citations. Now, the other thing that's going on off of your website that is an indicator to Google that this is an important website is the inbound links. These are links from other websites that are pointing to your website. Now, I wrote an article a few months back that talks about what the most important factors are with those inbound links to your website. And I came up with an acronym. The acronym is LARVA, and it identifies the five most important factors of inbound links that go to your website. Again, I'll have a link to that article in the show notes, but here they are, the five most important things. Local, so it's more helpful if you have a link from a local website than a website that is on the other side of the country or the world. Two, the A is authoritative. it's more helpful to get a link from the cover of the NewYorkTimes.com than it is the East Bumblewood Gazette.com. The third thing is relevant. It's more helpful for you to get links from pages from websites that are related to insurance or financial related things than it is necessarily from like a mommy blog or a hairdresser's website. The V in larva is voluminous. Now this one's kind of a stretch, but really what I'm going for there is the more links you have, the better. Every time another website links to your website, it's almost like a vote of trust saying this is a good website, it's a good business. And the more links that you can get pointing at your website, the better off you are. And the fifth thing, the second A, is anchor text. Anchor text is the actual words that are used in a link that points to your website. Now, many times a link to your website might just be HTTP, you know, with your domain name. But other times, people might have a link to your website that says, click here for the best insurance agent in East Bumblewood. And you'll actually get more of a benefit from Google when that anchor text includes words that you're trying to rank for, again, going back to your keyword list. Now, it is important with your anchor text that you have a lot of variety. So you don't want to have a million links pointing to your website that all say cheap insurance quotes because it looks fake. But when you do have opportunities to craft the way that text is going to be pointing at your website, that can be helpful. So those are the five factors that are going to help you the most when it comes to those links. So now the question is, okay, well, how can I get more links to my website? Now I'm going to give you a few ideas. I'll probably spend an entire podcast on a lot more ideas sometime in the future, but I'll give you some really good ways to get you started. The first thing you can do is competitive analysis. And what this means is you go out and you look at the guys who are around you that are ranking higher than you and below you, and you find out what other websites are linking to them. And the idea is if some other website somewhere is linking to the insurance agency who's across the street from you, there's a decent chance that they might also link to you. And maybe you can reach out to them, or maybe you can submit a profile, or I can't really say, but the idea is let's find out what he's got, and I'll try to get as many of those as I can get. And ultimately, I can win this battle too if I can get 50% of the links that 10 of my competitors have, I'm going to be the guy with the most links. The best tool you can use to find those links of your competitors is called Open Site Explorer.com. It's from a company called SEO Moz, which is one of the most renowned companies in the search engine optimization software business. It's OpenSiteExplorer.com. Again, link in the show notes. Now, what I think I might do as well is I'll probably put a link in the show notes to a few different resources. I'll find some places on the web that give you, you know, here's 100 ways that you can get links to your website. Obviously, I don't have the time to do that, but I will include that. As well, I'll also put a link to a company that I've worked with in the past that does good work for link building. The name of their company is HubShout.com, but I'll throw a link in the show notes for that. That's all I have for citations and for links. So the next thing on the list of the factors that can help you is reviews, online reviews. Now, a lot of agents look at online reviews and they say, well, what can I do? Somebody writes a review or they don't. I don't really have any control over this unless I'm going to go out and do it myself. I will tell you that you absolutely have control over it. That's like telling me that either people are going to buy the insurance or they're not going to buy the insurance, and whatever I say to them, it has no bearing on it. That you know that that's false. And it's the same when it comes to reviews. And reviews, absolutely, absolutely, positively, it needs to be part of your strategy to get more reviews on your agency. Really, to get more positive reviews, but really it's about getting more reviews. And I actually have a very firm conviction that as we move forward, as the internet becomes more of an aspect of everyone's lives and social media and all these different things, I believe that local business reviews are just going to become more and more important. And I think it's a great thing because it's going to force the bad companies, the bad service companies to get better, and it's going to put more opportunities in the hands of the companies that are delivering positive customer experiences. I really believe this. I mean, I can tell you from my own experience that if I want to buy something, I'll go out to Amazon and I'll read their reviews. I could be sitting in Staples about to buy a paper shredder, and this is a true story from a few months ago, and I pulled out my phone and I looked on Amazon to read the reviews and ultimately decided not to buy it. And I think more and more people are doing this type of behavior, and we're going to see it infiltrating into the insurance market, including along with everything else. Now, if you don't go out there and actively work to get some good reviews about your agency, what's going to happen is there's going to be some guy who gets his claim denied or has some problem because his insurance get canceled, and he's going to go out and he's going to tear you a new whatever. He's going to tear you apart online. And anyone who goes out to Google or Yelp where that review is and they see that, they're not going to call you. There's zero chance they're going to call you if they've got that horrible review out there. Now, the best defense is a good offense. And what I mean by that is you have to get good, positive reviews out there. Because if I see four good reviews and one bad review, even in a ratio of 20% of bad reviews, I will still give that company a chance because I'll think, you know what? That's just one crazy guy. Obviously, there's four people that are happy. But if all I see is one bad review, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So you really have to make some efforts to get good reviews. And in fact, there's been some studies shown that after five reviews on Google, you'll actually get a boost in the search rankings. So that might want, you might want to use that as your initial target. But ultimately, I want you to have more reviews than the other guy times 10. Because if I see a business that has 50 reviews and the next business has five reviews, that instantly tells me that these guys are big, those guys are small. These guys have people that care, these guys are whatever. You know, so shoot for five and then don't stop. Keep going. Do not fake reviews. Google is smart enough to be able to tell if you fake these reviews, even if you go and you set up a new account. You know, you could go use a different computer, set up a new account with a new email, and then go write this one review. I mean, if you're going to do it, you kind of have to go crazy with it. You'd have to review a lot of other businesses and use the account for different things. I mean, it's just a really bad idea. They're constantly getting better and better at sniffing out those bad reviews, so do not fake them. Get real people to give you real reviews. Now, a couple tips on that, and I'll tell you, I wrote a pretty good article about how to get more reviews for your agency, which I'll include a link to, but here's a few tips while we're talking about it. One thing you can do is you can make a page on your website that links to the important review sites. And I usually recommend not making this easily accessible so that if you're, you know, talking to a client who's very happy, you can email them a link and say, hey, click on this and do me a favor. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in this and we can't tell you how much we would appreciate it. Speaking of that, one tip for getting reviews is you have to ask right at the moment when somebody is very thankful, because you've all had that situation where you help somebody out and they're extremely, extremely thankful about what you've done for them. But the truth is, 24 hours later, their life has moved on, and so has yours. So if you want to take advantage of that altruistic feeling that they might have after you've just helped them out, ask right away. Another tip you can do is you can make a list of your clients who would be a really good prospect for writing a review. I'm talking about the people who are, you know, kind of follow the old rule of if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. You know, there's people that are always nice and happy and have great things to say. Make a list of those people, and once a month or maybe once a quarter, shoot out a mass email and just say, hey, you know, it's really important to us that we have positive reviews. If you don't have positive things to say about us, if you don't feel like you can go out and write a positive review, then please give us a call and let us know why not, because we'd like to have everybody feel like that. And then, of course, read my article with more ideas about how to get more reviews. So that is my discussion of getting more reviews. I have to tell you, I really strongly believe personally that that's going to be more and more of a factor. And so the sooner you can get out ahead of it, the bigger advantage you're going to have over other agents. Now, the last factor that I'm going to talk about here today is the social factor. And the truth is that this is really the most mysterious one. It's the one that's changing the most because, you know, with social media, it's always Facebook and then it's this and then it's this thing. Fortunately, as of right now, it also seems like the social factor is the least important when it comes to search rankings. The things I've already discussed today are more important. But so I'll give you a few tips. I would recommend that you set up a profile with all the major social sites like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Foursquare, and of course, Google+. And if you're going to set up that Google Plus page, I would really recommend that if you're already going to be posting content or information or anything over on Facebook, take that same information and just go over and do it on Google. You're basically just trying to feed the beast so that it doesn't bite your head off. Okay, play along with their game. You can make those posts, just copy the same information, whatever you do, because the more you play along with Google's network, the more active they're going to think you are. And the, you know what? To tell you the truth, maybe they're just going to try to reward you for, you know, really being active on their network, because if word gets out, so will other people. And, you know, then they can actually compete with Facebook instead of pretending to, like they are now. And the other thing I'll say about social is that, to tell you the truth, you're going to have to stay tuned for this one. I will keep you up to date with more information about how social factors can affect your search rankings. It's still really new territory. And again, I would, other than the slight recommendations that I've made, I would focus more on the four things above, which is your Google Places profile, your website, getting more citations and links to your website and about your business, and getting more reviews online about your business. So I'm coming up on 55 minutes and 30 seconds of this podcast. I know that it has been very long, but I sincerely, sincerely hope that it's been helpful to you. If you've made it this far, then obviously it's something that's interesting to you, and I really hope that the information that we've talked about, you can put into place and actually see results. I promise you that you will see results if you put these things into place. What I can't promise you is whether or not you'll do it. That's something you're going to have to promise to yourself. So there's a few things I just want to say to review. The first thing is how to get the show notes with the information about all the different links and tools I talked about. You can go to insurancesplash.com/3, the number 3. Don't spell it out, just the number. That was the first thing I wanted to mention. Secondly, if you have found value in the information that I've shared today, if you think this is the kind of thing that is going to help you, the best way that you can pay me back is not with any money or anything else. The best way you can pay me back is by going out to iTunes and writing a positive review of the information that I've talked about here. Believe it or not, reviews on iTunes will help my rankings within the iTunes search engine. So that's a good way that you can be helpful to me. And I guess I'll take my own medicine here. If you think that there are things that I could be doing better, don't write a bad review. Send those things to me and I will fix them, and then you can write a positive review. And the third thing I want to talk about is if you want to ask a question on the podcast, because I'm going to be taking agent questions. We have an agent question line, which will be included in those show notes. It's basically just an 800 number that you can call up and you can say, hey, this is John from wherever I am, and this is the agency I work for, and here's my question. I'll actually take that recording and I'll use it on the show so that we can get some interactivity. And I would just be tickled pink if you could go out and record a question like that. I would love to help you. Also, if you know anyone that you think would be a good guest that has insightful information about marketing or sales or anything related to insurance agents, please feel free. Please, I encourage you to let me know who they are, and I'll reach out to them, and maybe I can get them on this show, talk a little bit about what they know in a way that will help thousands of other agents. And so that's all I had. I just wanted to finish off today's show with a quote from one of my heroes, Zig Ziglar, who I'm sad to say he passed away a few weeks ago, but this is a really cool quote that I just read from him a few days ago, and it's about money. He says, money. You like the things it can buy, but you love the things it can't buy. I'll leave you with that. Have a great day. I'm John Carroll. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, brought to you by InsuranceSplash.com. Now get out there and sell insurance.